This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to turn stress into rest.
We need to trust that God knows exactly what He's doing when He allows us to go through stressful circumstances in our lives. He knows exactly what He's doing. Now let's get to the last of our three verbs. We found we need to count it all joy. There's some things we need to know, and now we need to let. Look at verses 3 and 4 again in James chapter 1. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James says you've got to let, allow, permit patience to do the work that God intends for it to do. It is the perfect tool. The situation He's allowing you to go through is the perfect situation for God to work in your life. But God says you got to allow patience to have its perfect work. Understand. Look at verse 4 again, or verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But you remember that that word test means to test and approve. In other words, it's a test that God says we are supposed to pass. We're not supposed to fail the test. So what produces patience, that perfect work in our lives, is not just having the test. It's what? Passing the test, praise God. It's when we face that stressful situation and respond to it in a godly way that we pass the test and that patience can do what it's supposed to do in our lives. We have to let it work. We have to permit it to work. And I have to tell you something. If we just follow our natural feelings when we're in a stressful situation, do what we feel like doing, 9 times out of 10, we will fail the test. If we follow our natural feelings when we are under stress, 9 times out of 10, we will end up not passing the test. Because you know what our feelings tell us to do? How many of us, when we're under stress, in a trial, in a challenging situation, our feelings tell us to count it all joy? How many of you feel like doing that? Amen. What do our feelings tell us to do? Well, at least three things. Three things that we end up doing. Sometimes we end up running. Sometimes we end up raging. And sometimes we end up rebelling. Running, raging, or rebelling. Running, what are we doing? Trying to get out from under the situation. Trying to get away from that thing. As soon as we find ourselves in some kind of trial, some kind of situation of pressure and stress, what do we want? Get out from under it. We feel like running. And the classic situation of running out on a bad situation is when you're a Christian and your home life is not good and you decide, I'm going to go visit the divorce court. Why? I need out of this thing. Amen? Sometimes it happens in church. You come to church and things aren't going the way that you want them to go. And what do you say? Out of here. Running away. Understand. You only get the benefit of patience doing its work in your life when you stay the course. If you run away, you just have to come back and go through that test all over again. One of the legacies that I have of playing football, I got a lot of legacies of my football years, one of which is my knee here. The other one, or one of the other ones, is if you could look behind this tooth right here in front, you'd find out there's a hole in that tooth in the back. Now, it's not a hole. It's been filled in. But when I first started playing football, Some of those mean older linemen, you know. Here what they say, fresh meat. Pop me right in the mouth. And they cracked that tooth. And the blood vessel died. And eventually, I had to have a root canal. Any of you had a root canal? Isn't it fun? Oh, aren't root canals fun? You lie there in the dentist chair. He pumps that thing full of Novocaine. And it feels like your mouth, in fact, your lip feel like it's, you got basketballs up there. And then he starts messing around in there, and he starts sawing and sticking stuff up in there. And I mean, it is a mess. It is uncomfortable. I did not like it. I did not enjoy it. Suppose what I had done then, he got me in that chair. He starts doing all that mess, shoots me up in Novocaine in here. And I say, man, this don't feel good. I don't like this. I have changed my mind. I'm getting up out of this chair. And so I get up right in the middle of the procedure and leave. Now, let me ask you something. What have I accomplished? What's going to happen in 2 or 3 days when the Novocaine wears off? I'm going to have to be right back where I was. Because of the discomfort, I tried to run away. But guess what? Running away didn't solve a thing. You can't run away. If you're a Christian, do you know this? God won't let you. God won't let you. Amen. If you get up out of the chair, God will say, okay, I'm just going to let the pain keep going. Until you're ready to come back and get in that chair again and complete what it is you need to complete. You will only get the benefit if you stay the course. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read for you verses 5 through 11. Look at how God deals with us in the pressure situations he allows us to go through in life. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When God allows us to go through stressful, pressure-filled situations, he is in the business of chastening us. Chastening is not necessarily punishment, but it is shaping and molding us to be more like Jesus. And he says, look, when you're going through that, it is not fun. It is not enjoyable. It is not comfortable. Don't expect it to be. But here's the key word, afterward. Afterward, it's going to yield fruit in your life. Amen? When you stay the course through that period of chastening, through that stressful situation, you stay on track with God, doing what he calls you to do instead of what you feel like doing, he says, afterward, you're going to reap the benefit. You're going to reap the fruit. Number one, you got to stay with it. You can't run when the situation gets tough. Second thing that we often do is we rage. Rage, the dictionary says that is to speak or act furiously. How many of you ever speak or act furiously when something happens? Expressing our anger and our frustration. Amen. That so-and-so, just let him get in my face again. I'll lay him out. You ever been there? How many of you ever spend the next 24 hours after somebody says something to you or does something to you talking about that person like a dog? Let me just see. Anybody here? Maybe I shouldn't limit it to 24 hours. How about the next 2 weeks? Amen. Let me tell you what's going on when you find that kind of rage spilling out of you. You ever gone to the grocery store and you looked at a pile of fruit and your first thought was, now, wait a minute, is that a small grapefruit or a large orange? Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? Let me tell you the way that you can know for sure whether it's a grapefruit or an orange. You prick the skin, put some pressure on until some juice comes out, and then you taste the juice. Because I don't care how grapefruit juice tastes like grapefruit juice. Orange juice tastes like orange juice. Isn't that right? And when you put on enough pressure to squeeze out what's inside, you can tell what's really inside. When God takes you through a pressure situation, guess what he's doing? He's going to find out what's inside. Amen. He's going to squeeze until whatever's really inside of you begins to come out. So let me tell you something. If you can be provoked into cursing because of the situation that you are in, what does that tell you? You still got some cursing in you. Isn't that right? If you can be moved to saying malicious and nasty things to somebody or about somebody because of the way they have treated you, that's because you still got a malicious and nasty mouth in you someplace. Now, as good Christians coming to Covenant Community Church, going through spiritual foundations and Wednesday Bible study and our seminars, you know how to paste that stuff over now, don't you? I ain't supposed to be like that, no. So God puts the pressure on so we can find out what's really inside. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verses 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say right now because it gives us a standard for where our lives are supposed to be. When we are perfect and complete, lacking nothing, there will be nothing that anybody can say to us or do to us that will provoke us to bitterness, wrath, and evil speaking. Because if it's not in you, it can't come out. Amen? Amen. And where God wants to get us to is that he can squeeze the orange and know that what comes out is always going to be sweet. Here's the third thing. Sometimes we run. Sometimes we rage. And a lot of times we rebel. We just flat out rebel. You know what that is? That's when you refuse to do what you know you should do out of pride or frustration or anger. Anybody ever been there? You knew what you needed to do in that situation. In fact, you knew what you needed to do because somebody was telling you what you needed to do, and all that did was stimulate you to greater rebellion. Teenagers are good for that, aren't they? All of you parents of younger kids, guess what you have in store for you to look forward to? They will come to their rebellious years. Amen. And think about what happens when a young kid, a teenager, goes through that rebellious period. Whatever it is that they know pleases the parent, what do they want? The exact opposite. It pleases my parent for me to come to church. Oh, you can get me that place. It pleases my parent for me to have my clothes nice and clean and pressed. There they are on the floor under the table. It pleases my parent for me to live a clean life without drugs and without alcohol and without illicit sexual activity. And some teenagers, out of rebellion, will go that route. They know what they should do, but they're in rebellion. Now, you know what the tragedy is? It's not just limited to teenagers. Amen? Let me just see, take my little poll here. How many of us would admit to having gone through some rebellious episodes in our lives when we knew what the right thing to do was and we said in ourselves, I ain't doing that. Let me just see anybody. Amen. Now, when your teenager does stupid stuff in order to rebel against you, who gets hurt? He does. Isn't that right? You're trying to protect him. He's hurting himself, doing self-destructive stuff. Well, guess what? When we rebel against God because he allows us to go through circumstances we don't like, when we say, I ain't doing that, who gets hurt? We do. Guess what? God loves you, but he's not going to cry for you when you're in the middle of your rebellion. Amen. You don't hurt him. It hurts us. Go over to Psalm 32. Look at verses 8 and 9. Look at the counsel the Word of God gives us. When we find ourselves going through a pressure-filled, stress-filled situation, God wants to work in our lives. He wants to lead us and guide us and teach us, mold us and shape us. But we have to let patience have its perfect work. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Do not be like a horse or a mule. What's the reputation of mules? Stubborn. We got any mules here today? Come on, let's have honesty. How many stubborn folk are in the house? Stubborn. Well, you need to know you are prone to rebellion. Amen? You are prone to rebellion. But catch it. When you rebel against what God is doing in your life, I ain't doing what I know I ought to do. He can't make me. Well, guess what? He won't. He'll just let you suffer the consequences. And if you want to get up out of the dentist chair and 2 days later have to come back and get in that same chair, hurting worse than you were the first time, and the dentist says, well, look, I already spent a lot, so I'm going to charge you twice. Amen? If you want to do it that way, God says, I'll let you do it that way. As many times as you want. As many times as you want to rebel. Because God will finally get us to the point where we're willing to let patience have its perfect work in our lives. Well, how do we do that? How do we let patience have its work? Instead of running or raging or rebelling, we need to cooperate with what God is doing. In other words, we need to look at what's being squeezed out of us and say, God, what do I need to do to change what's inside? Some time ago, I was in a situation where someone was trying to train me in doing something on a computer. Now, you know, if there's anything that I look at myself and say I can handle is anything having to do with a computer. I mean, I'm looking at you folks here today. If we had a computer knowledge and ability contest, guess who I expect to come out on top? I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years, praise God. Guess what? I got into that situation. They started training me. Went okay the first day. The second day, they said, hey, you're going backwards. What it looked like you knew yesterday, you don't even have it today. You're going backwards. And I started trying to explain, well, look, this is what I was doing. I was trying to do this and this and this. And they came back, and it was like they thought I was trying to make excuses. I was just trying to explain so we could figure out what the problem was. No. And then I stopped, and I started thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, this is something I ought to be able to do like that. What's God working on in my life? I don't want to rebel. I certainly don't want to run. And I'm not going to rage. I need to cooperate with what God is doing in my life. What is God working on? Well, one thing I picked up on right away was when they told me, you don't know what you're doing and you're worse today than you were tomorrow. Guess what was hurt? My pride. I'll be honest with you. When that thought first occurred to me, is God working on my pride? I turned to God and said, God, I don't need you to work on my pride. I'm fine. Lord, I'm fine with that. But what did we find out? God always uses the perfect tool. Amen. And so I said, well, if God is working on my pride, instead of me trying to make this person understand how much I know, that, you know, I'm doing it all right. I mean, I don't understand how come it's not working the way it's supposed to, but I'm doing it the way it's... Instead of all that, you know what I said? Look, okay, I'm just going to put myself in your hands. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Now, let me tell you something. You want to talk about death to pride? That cost me something, amen? That cost me something. But I realized that God was at work in that stressful situation on that aspect of my character. And patience in this case meant perseverance under pressure and not trying to work it out for myself to save my pride, but letting God do what he was going to do and handling it with godly humility. What are you going through right now that's putting you under pressure? What kind of juice is coming out of you when you get squeezed? You need to look at that and say, God, whatever is coming out that's not what it should be, I want to change. I want to fix it. I only want sweet juice coming out of me, no matter how much pressure is put on. Go over to Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 8. Let me show you what happens when we don't start seeking the face of God to find out what he's doing in our lives in the midst of stressful circumstances. Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 8. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. See who they're saying is going to do it? We will do it. We can rebuild this stuff. We can replace this stuff. Verse 11. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Verse 13, here it is. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. They said, we are under pressure, but we're going to work it out for ourselves. We're under pressure, but we know what we need to do. We're going to go do it. We don't need anybody else to tell us what to do. And God says, because you wouldn't seek my face in the midst of that circumstance, my hand is against you. I'm going to continue to put the pressure on you. I'm going to bring your enemies to take over and to put pressure on you. Why? You need to be seeking the face of God. You need to be cooperating with God. God, I'm under pressure. I don't understand why I'm in here, Lord. I know my pride is good, so what am I doing here? No, shut up and listen. Lord, whatever it is that you're doing in my life, I put myself in your hands. I'm asking you to show me what's in my heart. Let me understand the nature of what's happening and what is coming out of me. Go over to Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. Here's the prayer that we need to pray. Psalm 139, starting with verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. When God is taking you through a stressful circumstance, you need to ask God to show you what he's working on in your life, to show you what needs to be corrected in your life, that you may be perfect and entire. It may be your pride. It may be an attitude that you have. It may be your selfishness. It may be your desire to be better than somebody else, to outdo the Joneses or your next door neighbors or the folks that work. It may be any of those things. It may be something we haven't talked about. You need to ask God to show you what He's doing in your life. And then you need to cooperate with Him. God, if you're working on my pride, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to humble myself in the sight of God. And Lord, much harder than that, I'm going to humble myself in the sight of this person over here. Because you're dealing with pride in my life. And I want to cooperate with you. The bottom line is this. God always uses the exact right tool. If you are going through a stressful situation in your life right now, it is exactly the situation that God needs in order to work out in your life what He wants to work out. And instead of running from it, instead of raging about it, instead of rebelling against it, you need to make up your mind. First of all, Lord, I'm going to count it all joy because you are working my life. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. In fact, Lord, it's downright painful, but I'm going to give you the praise because you're doing something good. Here's our last scripture for the day. Go over to Habakkuk. I ought to see somebody looking in the table of contents about now. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Here's the attitude that we need to have when we're facing difficult, stressful, trying circumstances in our lives, but we know that God is on the job to do what needs to be done and bring us through. Here's the attitude we need to have. Habakkuk chapter 3, starting with verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, though everything might seem totally messed up from the way it should be. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You want to know how to not be stressed out when you're going through stressful circumstances? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And guess what? Even when the key breaks off in the door, you will have rest instead of stress.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.